Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. Program 321 in the series. It's September 23rd. It's a Sunday evening. And to my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hey, Carl.
I have one question for you.
Yes.
How's the hiccups? How are your hiccups
doing?
They're gone?
Yeah, but you didn't scare them away.
See, we carpool. I picked her up, and within about 2 minutes.
No.
You were hiccuping the whole drive.
I could not stop hiccuping. I don't understand.
This is not like a regular hiccup. Lisa's hiccups are not regular hiccups.
They were loud.
Very loud. That's what each one of them sounded like.
Mr. Ed.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Wilbur.
Well, they're gone now. So the good news is I'm A-OK.
Oh gosh. I thought we were going to have to call an ambulance or something.
To take me in for my hiccups.
For
that
hiccups.
Would be interesting.
But Lisa's all better. That's good to know. And we have two classic radio shows for you, folks. Gunsmoke from 1956, and then it's the Jack Benny Program, a hilarious episode from 1957, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride. What's the Cat's Pride crack the quote?
Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. That's 2003, the first film in the series.
It's the first film. Okay.
Yes.
There was a lot of them.
I know.
A lot of films. All right, and what do they win?
They're going to win two tickets to see The Madness of Edgar Allan Poe, A Love Story, at First Folio Stage.
Okay. The number to call, 312-981-7200. What caller would you like?
Caller 3.
Caller 3. All right. Call us right now. 312-981-7200. Win some tickets. Play the game on the air. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
We have Karen on the line. Hey, Karen.
Hello there.
So glad you're going to play with us tonight.
Yes, I'm glad to.
Terrific.
Hi, Karen.
So, Pirates of the Caribbean, have you seen this film series at all?
No.
That's okay.
I haven't.
You know what?
Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, we've got a little Johnny Depp. But you know what? I think you're going to know it no matter whether you've seen this film or not. I think this is an easy one. We'll see how it goes. All right. Terrific. Quote number one, but why is the rum gone? Quote number two, candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. Quote number three, time flies when you're having rum.
Oh, my goodness.
What sounds right?
I'll take number two.
Number two, candy's dandy, but liquor's quicker. No, Roger?
Yeah. Number one.
You like number one? Why is the rum gone?
All right, so I got both of them right yesterday, right? We only did two.
Yes.
And I'm going to get this right.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm agreeing with Karen. It's number two.
Candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
Why is the rum gone?
Oh, man.
Roger.
Bam. Wait a minute.
Roger.
If I could drop my mic, I
would. You know what?
Man.
I'm really impressed. I'm happy for you, Carl, that you missed it. I'm happy for you, Roger, that you got it. But I'm mostly happy for Karen because she's got two tickets to The Madness of Edgar Allan Poe, A Love Story. It's at the First Folio Stage.
I was like positive that I was right on that.
Oh, my gosh. It starts October 6th. It runs through November 4th. And for tickets and information, you can visit First Folio.org. Thank you so much for playing. Next time you listen to Roger. What?
It's the theater in Chicago?
It's actually in Oak Brook.
Oh, it's in Oak Brook.
Yeah, Oak Brook. Does that work for you?
Oh, yeah. That sounds familiar.
Terrific. It's supposed to be a great show. I've been reading a lot about it, and it sounds amazing, so I hope you can get out there and see it.
Yeah, check it out, Karen. Good luck.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much. All right, Karen's a big winner. Before we tune into Gunsmoke, I do want to remind all of our listeners that we have a text in line, and Lisa and I love to get your texts. The number is 312-981-7200. Now, we're here till 1 o'clock in the morning, and we'd love it if you text in. Now, if you've never texted in, there's time to do it. You have till 1 a.m. Text us, right?
Now, yeah, I don't answer all of them. I do read all of them, and I read them aloud to Carl because he doesn't really know how to read that well. But, for example, we just got a text that says, Gunsmoke and Jack Benny, thank you to the 10th Power. That's really nice.
Oh, yeah, we do have a couple of good shows. Yeah.
Carl, before you go to the show, can you see me on the monitor?
I can.
Yeah? Ready?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, you just keep looking. Remember, this is because I just beat
you. Know what? We're going to turn it off right now. Okay, that's the end of Roger.
Roger, let me just say this.
Yeah.
No matter how far you stick your tongue out, it'll only be half as far as Lisa can stick her tongue out.
Oh.
Ew.
Lisa was born with a very long tongue. She sticks it out, and it's like it hits. Oh, look at that. Oh, gosh. Can you see that? I need to take a picture of that.
I'm not going
like
to allow
Kiss.
That.
You know Gene Simmons?
Oh, I'm a big
She's like
fan
the female. She is the female Gene Simmons.
I'll take that.
Yeah, you
there
are.
There you go.
All right.
some useless knowledge there.
I'm a big
for
fan. That's right. We've got a lot of that going on around here.
Well, it's time for Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke was an adult Western. You know, there was a lot of Westerns on the radio, like Gene Autry's Melody Ranch and Hopalong Cassidy, Roy Rogers Show, The Lone Ranger. These were sort of aimed at kids. But by 1952, CBS said, you know what? Let's create an adult Western. And so they did. They hired Norman McDonald, who was one of the biggest producers of the golden age of radio. He was a producer on Suspense and Escape. And they said, and he also did Philip Marlowe. And they're like, you know what? Can you create an adult Western? And they got together and figured out a radio series based on a character named Marshal Matt Dillon, who lived in Dodge City, Kansas, and he was the marshal there. And they had all these other characters, Deputy Chester Proudfoot and Doc Adams and Kitty Russell. Dillon was an isolated, very lonely man. He was toughened by a hard life. And they hired one of the deepest voiced actors in radio, William Conrad, to play Marshal Matt Dillon. Now, it was so popular that they made a transition to television in 1955, which lasted nearly, I think it was 20 seasons, 1974. Entirely new cast on television, though, James Arness as Dillon. But we have a great radio adult Western for you now on Gunsmoke called Kitty's Outlaw. It's from February 12th, 1956. Here's part one of William Conrad as Marshal Matt Dillon on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Every man who comes to Dodge doesn't spell trouble, but sometimes a stranger rides in who, to my eye, has it written all over him. This one I first noticed walking slowly up and down the plaza. taken every detail in of the buildings, of the crowd, of the street. You might have thought he was figuring to buy the place. But after 2 days of his walking and sitting and watching, I decided that maybe that wasn't exactly what he had in mind.
You looking for somebody, mister?
You've been in Dodge long enough, stranger. You know who I am.
You're Marshal Dillon.
If there's anything about this town you haven't found out, maybe I can help you.
This is the first civilization I've seen in months, Marshal. Just trying to get used to it again. By the way, my name is Cole Yankton. Well, it ain't no summer name, Marshal, if that's what you're thinking.
What do you do that keeps you away from civilization, Yankton?
Oh, I've been horse trading, around among the settlers, a few peaceful Indians.
Uh-huh. But you're done with that now, huh?
I sold what I had. Come out pretty good, too.
You know, most men who come here with a stake spend it gambling. I haven't seen you near a saloon yet.
I'll look them over later.
You aiming to stay here long?
I come here to take the Santa Fe to Wichita, Marshal.
Well, it goes every day.
You got something against me?
No, not yet.
Just being a lawman, you gotta be suspicious of everybody, don't you?
Not everybody.
There's nothing wrong with me, Marshal. Now, don't you worry about a thing.
I won't, Yankton.
Good.
I'm gonna let you do the worrying.
I figure this saloon's about to go broke.
Oh, why's that, Kitty?
Well, they've almost stopped watering the whiskey.
Oh?
I swear they're pouring it at least half and half these days.
Kitty, Sam's got to make it last, you know.
One barrel for the whole winter?
Well, the less people drink, the less trouble they make for me.
Ah, that's being selfish.
Yeah.
Huh?
I wondered how long he'd hold up.
What? Who are you talking about?
The man at the door over there. He's been in town 2 days, and this is the first time I know he's come into a saloon. Kitty, what's the matter?
Nothing, Matt. Nothing.
Well, you're staring at him like he was a ghost or something.
A ghost?
Well, what is it, Kitty? Do you know him?
Cole Yankton.
Well, who is he? Well, what do you know about him?
He's coming over here. Excuse me, Matt.
No, wait a minute, Kitty. What?
Evening, Marshal.
Hello, Yankton.
Your girl took off.
Uh-huh.
She's going out the back door. She's really leaving.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Now, why'd she do that, Marshal?
I wouldn't know, Yankton.
You ain't even curious?
I don't figure it's any of my business.
Maybe you're right, Marshal. Maybe it ain't.
Like I said, Yankton, you worry about it. Good night.
Good night, Marshal.
Look at him, Chester.
Hmm?
Sitting there half asleep in the sun, and crime is being committed all over town. Widows are being robbed, old men are getting their throats cut, little children are being sold into slavery, and there sits the law, sucking on a straw while he digests his dinner.
My golly, Doc, he don't look none too lively.
If I had a gun, I'd shoot his heels off.
I'll lend you mine.
Why don't you two sit down and quit bragging?
Yeah. Huh? We better do it too, Jesse. It'll make him look less conspicuous.
You know, this is one part of my job I take pleasure in, Doc.
You know something? I wouldn't hire either one of you to drive a tent peg in quicksand.
Don't answer him, Chester. That's his bad conscience talking.
Doc, did you ever hear of a man doing a little thinking once in a while?
Always thinking. And what would you be thinking so hard about, Marshal?
Well, I tell you, Doc. Cole Yankton over there.
Oh?
That's him standing right across the street.
Where? Oh, yes. Yes, I know. I saw him this morning.
This morning? Where?
In the plaza. He was asking where he could find Kitty. Said he wanted to talk to her.
Well.
Now, that's all right, Chester. Why shouldn't he be talking to Kitty?
Well, no reason, I guess.
You don't fool me, Mad Dillon. You're wondering why as much as everybody else.
Kitty knows lots of people, Doc.
Oh, yes. People like Cole Yankton? Outlaws?
Look, there's Miss Kitty.
So she's going to run right into him.
He stopped her. I guess he's going to get to talk to her, all right.
But he isn't, Chester. He's just kind of smiling at her.
Well, that sure didn't last long. Where is he going now?
Boy, he's taking his horse. Looks like he's leaving town, Matt.
Yonder he goes.
Well, that's good riddance. You can forget about him, Matt.
Yeah, maybe.
Why don't you ask Miss Kitty about him, Mr. Dillon? You said you was having supper with her tonight, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right, Chester. I'm having supper with her.
All right, that's the first portion of Gunsmoke with Kitty's Outlaw, starring William Conrad. February 12th, 1956. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. You know what, Lisa? I am very, very fortunate to do something that I really love to do every week here with these classic radio shows and broadcast them, because I've been collecting and a fan of these classic radio shows really most my whole life. I started collecting at age 12, started licensing them around the age of 20, and now have over 100,000 radio shows licensed from the rights holders. And it hit me about a month ago, how can I get these shows in the hands of people that really want to collect the best quality, the most interesting shows? So I came up with this idea of a classic radio club for all of our listeners, that they could just join a club and get 10 shows that I handpick out of the 100,000 shows every month, 10 half-hour classic radio shows sent to them on 5 CDs, came up with the idea of a classic radio club. Now, when you join, as you know, because you joined, you get 10 of the greatest classic radio shows of all time. And you got the Abbott and Costello, who's on first. What else is on your first collection?
Gunsmoke, Fibber McGee and Molly, Dimension X.
Escape.
Escape.
Yeah, what else? Do you remember?
Abbott
Sam Spade.
Abbott and Costello.
There's a lot of, yeah, who's on first.
Oh, yeah, we said that.
But, you know, Suspense. This first collection that you get, folks, when you join the Classic Radio Club, it's the regular retail of something like this is $39.95. You get it for only $4.99. That's all you pay to join the club. So to get your 5 CD, 10 shows, just go to classicradioclub.com, classicradioclub.com. Then every month you get another 5 CD collection. Like a month later, 30 days later, you'll get another set of 5 CDs with 10 shows. Now, you also get copious liner notes. I write very detailed liner notes about all the shows and the series, so you can kind of learn about the shows while you're listening to them.
And I just got my second month, and I took a picture. Well, Carl and I took a picture holding the CD, so you can kind of see what's on the second month as well. You can check it out on our Facebook page. We're both there. And in case you don't know what we look like, there we are. hard at work at around midnight on a Saturday night. But check it out at classicradioclub.com, or there's a toll-free number as well, which is 888-642-6556.
Yeah, and when you join, you'll, as I say, get these 10 different shows every month, and you will never get a duplicate show. You'll also get the full show as it was originally broadcast during the golden age of radio with all the original commercials and things. And what I'm doing every month, I'm working about 3 months in advance. So I think I just picked out all of the shows for November and December. And I'm making sure that they're not only great quality, sound quality, like the best quality that I have in the collection, but I also am making sure they're interesting and the biggest stars and the big, you know, like Humphrey Bogart and Jack Benny and, you know, James Cagney and all those kind of types of shows where you're going to get something really interesting every month. And it's a complete surprise. You're going to get 10 different shows every month, and you're going to find new gems that you may not have known that you like. You know, that's what happened to me when I first got into this. I started collecting these shows and thinking, well, I don't know if I like Boston Blackie, and then I heard it, and now it's my favorite show, you know? So go to classicradioclub.com and learn all about it. Join the club. We'd love for you to be. There's been hundreds and hundreds of people that have joined in just a few weeks, and people seem to be loving it. I've been getting a lot of texts, a lot of emails, how much they enjoy being part of the Classic Radio Club. And by the way, these CDs, they're not like burned CDs on a duplicator. These are replicated CDs by a big CD manufacturing house. So it's just like the CDs you would buy in a store. These are professional CDs that you're getting in a collector case every single month. So just go to classicradioclub.com.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
So, Roger, I think we're going to mix things up pretty soon here. Uh-oh. Lisa wants to play
Tiddlywinks?
Yeah, she wants to play songs.
Okay.
From the same year that the classic radio show is that we air. So in other words, if we were doing, instead of the Crack the Quote, so it would be called Cat's Pride Musical Memory. We're going to pitch this to Dan Jaffe.
Okay.
And see if he likes it Cat's Pride.
Music memory. Right. And for example, we're playing a Gunsmoke from February of 1956. Uh-huh. I'll choose a song that was very big in February of 1956.
We'll play a top 10 song.
Yeah. And then we'll play Gunsmoke. So it sort of goes along with that era. And
that's
it gives you
cool.
another piece of information about that time.
Yeah. Well, text us, folks, if you think that's a good idea, if you like the idea of hearing like a song from the same year as the classic radio show.
It might even be same month. I have to work on that and see how that goes.
Wow.
All right.
That would be impressive.
Would Carl be singing along?
Good question.
I won't sing along because I want people to enjoy it. Now I'll be singing along with the mic off.
That's okay.
Well, that's not okay.
Oh, really? Because you're stuck in there with
them.
Because
I'm right here.
Hey, man, you know, you got to take the good with the bad.
I hear you.
Co-host.
All right. Well, then we'll sing it together. How's that?
Right. So we're thinking about this. And folks, we'd love to know your thoughts. 312-981-7200. Text us. Let us know what you think. You know, Lisa likes to, you know, we were doing the songs for a while. We did the movie clips for a while. She likes to mix it up. She wants to change things.
I do like to shake things up. I get a little bored. So we like to keep things moving, like, see how it goes.
I have my Panera oatmeal every morning, you know, 7 days a week. I go to Panera.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just
make it at home?
I go to Panera. I have my, because Panera makes the best oatmeal in the world.
I make good oatmeal at home.
I get there and I say, I'll have oatmeal with the strawberries in the works. And then I get
Why don't you just say with the works? Because strawberries would be part of.
I guess it would, but I just the way I do it. It's okay. They look at me a little strange.
That's not why.
So I have my oatmeal in the morning, and then I go and I work out, and I work the oatmeal off in the working out.
Okay,
but I'll never change. But Lisa likes to shake it up.
Yeah.
She, you know.
All right.
I'm fine with the same thing every single
time. Let us know what you think.
We're going to do a Cat's Pride music memory, one song that goes along with the month and year of each show that we're about to play prior to playing that
radio show.
Love
to know what you think, folks. 312-981-7200. Text us. But right now, it's the conclusion to Gunsmoke.
You like the enchiladas, Matt?
Well, I'd like them better if I knew what they were using for meat, Kitty.
Haven't you ever been here before?
No, not often. Yeah, for one thing, it's too long a walk. This place is hardly part of Dodge.
Now, just because it's at the edge of town. I don't think you like Mexican food, Matt.
I grew up on it, Kitty.
Well, the walk's good for you. Gives you an appetite.
Huh? Is that why you brought me clear out here?
I get tired of eating at Delmonico's and those places. Change is good for you once in a while.
Yeah, sure, it's good for you. As long as it's for the better.
There's nothing wrong with this food. I think it's delicious.
Uh-huh. Have you tried this coffee?
I wasn't talking about the coffee.
Well, you take cornmeal and molasses and you fry it together until it turns to powder. Then you boil that with water, and you got coffee.
Is that how they make it?
No, it's how they make it here.
Well, I like it.
Well, you don't have to, you know. It's not going to cost me much.
Then you ought to be grateful I made us come here.
Oh, I am, Kitty. I sure am.
Matt.
Yeah?
You haven't asked me about Cole Yankton.
No, I haven't, Kitty. Why should I?
Mr. Dillon, I swear I thought I'd never find you. What are you doing way out here?
Is something wrong, Chester?
Only the bank got held up. Three men, they took over $10,000.
When?
A while ago. I've been looking everywhere for you.
Was anybody hurt, Chester?
There was a few shots fired, but nobody got hit I know of.
Well, any idea who it was?
Yes, sir. One of them, anyway.
Well, who?
Cole Yankton.
Matt.
Now, we'll talk about it later, Kitty.
I brought your horse, Mr. Dillon, and we better get going or we won't never find him.
All Chester knew was that Cole Yankton and his partners had headed south out of Dodge. So we started after him. We rode blind for a few hours. I was about to give it up and wait for daylight when we ran into a cowboy who'd heard him ride past him in the dark. When I told him who I was, he told me the only place in the whole country where they might be hiding. And an hour later, Chester and I were crawling on our bellies up to a half-fallen shack that lay under a small bluff.
They ain't even hiding in the shack. They got a fire going outside.
They'd have been safe enough if it hadn't been for that cowpuncher, Chester.
Yankton's the one laying on the ground, ain't he?
Yeah. Quiet now. Just hold it up, Chester, and listen.
The fire's too big. Don't worry. You won't nobody find it tonight.
Come on, let's get a little closer.
There's only two of them, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. The other one's probably in the shack. Listen.
How are they going to find us? Ain't bloodhounds.
Well, they don't like it, I tell you. Another thing, Yankton. What were them men doing in the bank? You said it was always empty at that hour.
Can't find out everything in 2 days, can I?
I guess not. I still give you credit for one thing, Yankton. At least that Tin Horn Marshal never showed up.
Don't give me credit for it.
Why, he means kid, Mr. Young. He means she was in on it.
That gal help you out? What's your name?
My name's Kitty, and I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, you talked about enough what we got to Dodge.
Look, the marshal was out of the way, wasn't he?
That's what I said.
Then that's all you need to know. Now leave Kitty out of this.
You're awful touchy about it, ain't you, Yankton?
You shut up, or I'll put
Chester.
A bullet in you.
Yes, sir.
Lay you down, watch for the man in the shack. I'm going to move in on these two. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I will.
All right, you men are covered. Get your hands up.
Shoot him. I got that fella in the door, Mr. Dillon.
I give up, Marshal. Don't shoot.
We got them all but him.
All right, keep your hands up, Yankton.
Gear up.
All right, get on your feet.
No, I can't, Marshal. I'm too dizzy.
What?
I got hit. Marshal,
Got him, too, I guess, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Yankton? He's bleeding all right, Chester, but he's not dead.
Say, looks like an old cart of some kind over there, Mr. Dillon. If it ain't busted, maybe we can hitch it up and carry him back to Dodge.
Yeah. Well, let's find that money first, and then we'll try it.
All right, sir. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah. What, Chester?
It's kind of bad about Miss Kitty, ain't it?
Hello, Matt.
How is he, Doc?
I've done all I can for him, Matt.
I ain't gonna make it. I never thought I would.
And I don't give up, Yankton. There's always a chance.
My partners, they're both dead, ain't they, Marshal?
We buried them before we brought you in, Yankton.
Come in. Oh, Kitty.
I had to come. I heard he was here.
Hello, Kitty. You got a bullet in me, Kitty.
I know.
Out on the street there yesterday, I had it in mind to ask you something, but when I got close to you, I knew I couldn't. And I'm glad. Because things didn't work out so good.
No. I'm sorry, Cole. I'm real sorry.
Thank you for coming, Kitty. I won't bother you no more.
He's dead. Here, I'll cover him up.
Matt.
No, Kitty. You don't have to explain anything.
Yes, I do. I want you to hear, too, Doc.
I'm listening.
You both think I tried to help him, don't you?
Well, it sure looks like you did, Kitty.
I know.
And I guess I'd have to hear you say it before I'd believe it.
I stand with Matt, Kitty.
Thanks, Doc. Matt.
I'll tell you what, let's forget about it, Kitty, huh?
No. No. I want to tell you something about Cole Yankton. He's been in California for years. That's why you never heard of him. Well, I've heard of him. I know what he's been doing, and I think he came here because he thought I'd help him. But then he did a nice thing, Matt. He didn't ask me to. He didn't make me say no.
Well, then I guess he wasn't so bad after all, Kitty.
Cole Yankton, New Orleans. I was just a girl. He was the first man I ever knew. The first grown man.
Yankton was a fool, Matt.
Yeah.
He should have stayed with that girl.
Yeah, she's all right, isn't she, Doc? You know, to compliment a Westerner, you might say, he'll do to ride the river with. Well, that means that he's courageous and honest. But next week, when a man rides the river, he dies. And that was the West. Good night.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin and Barney Phillips. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.
You know, if I was a radio actor back in the 40s and 50s, I would have tried to get this job, Gunsmoke. I would have wanted to play Marshal Matt Dillon.
Yeah.
Because my voice is as deep.
Your voice needs to drop a few octaves.
But Kitty, you know, that was a bad guy, Kitty. Don't be hanging out with the bad guys. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You're good.
Yeah. I think I could have done it, Lisa.
Yeah, I think you're pretty talented that way.
I mean,
way.
William Conrad was good, but I mean...
Right,
you
but
know,
he's not Carl Amari.
I mean, I think I could have done it just as well. What do you think, Roger?
Yeah.
Tell you there.
Partner.
Festus?
Festus. There was no Festus on the radio. You're thinking of Gunsmoke from TV.
Well, I think it's time to mosey on over to Kitty's place and get us some grub.
Somehow he sounds like Roger the News Guy.
They didn't eat at Kitty's place.
Really?
It was a saloon. Come on, Raj.
Serve food?
Nah, she it was had a saloon.
I'll tell you, if it was a secret menu, kind of like when you go to
it?
McDonald's or something.
Oh, really? It was like the kids menu?
You got.
They
got a kids menu there.
They had chicken nuggets there.
That was a really good episode of Gunsmoke, February 12th, 1956, Kitty's Outlaw, starring William Conrad. You know, Gunsmoke ran on radio a lot of years. I'll bet you I have over 1,000 episodes of Gunsmoke.
Wow.
And they all sound like this, too. They sound great. Because we got them right from the... You know, these were recorded on big Ampex reel-to-reel tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And we got these from CBS. We got these big, you know, like 10-inch reel-to-reels of mm-hmm. all the Gunsmokes, and we transferred them years and years ago to digital, and they all sound like this. I mean, these
cool.
Gunsmoke radio shows.
Very
yeah,
clear,
cool.
Very crisp.
Yeah. Wait till you hear the Jack Benny program coming up in just a few minutes. A very, very funny episode.
Good.
But first, a few commercials. We'll be right back. Do you think they can cure hiccups over there at Riverside?
You know what? It was a self-cure. I did it.
Yeah, so she's hiccuping in the car the whole way, Roger. And mm-hmm. I said, just hold your breath. Like, take a really deep breath.
So I did that, and the whole time I'm doing that, he's like, you didn't do it enough. You didn't get enough air in there. You didn't do it enough.
Because
are you kidding me?
No, so she's like,
I
have to.
You know what,
she's like,
Roger.
I have to drink water upside down or something. What did you say?
You take a glass, and you drink it from the wrong side of the glass. Like, you bend over and drink water from the opposite side of the glass.
I'm
that
trying to
always
get a
works
trying
for
to
me.
Get a visual of that, Roger. It's
Do you understand what I'm saying, Roger?
Yes, I do, and it's scaring me.
Yeah, it's scaring me.
I'm scaring you?
The visual of that.
Get out of
She's
town.
Bending over. She's drinking water out of the wrong side of the glass.
Works. Yeah.
And that works.
That works.
Roger, for some people.
You're supposed to hold your breath,
for some
right?
People.
You're supposed to? Who told you you're supposed to?
You're supposed to take a really deep breath.
And apparently my breath wasn't deep enough, Roger.
Well, you know what you should have done? You should have asked him to demonstrate it and to keep telling him how long to hold it.
You know what? He's just got to tell. Whatever
course,
I do, I probably
out
didn't
while
do
he
it
was
right.
Driving.
Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
Thank you.
Literally, he's like, you didn't do it right.
Well, that's the other thing. Any car that starts to merge into a lane.
Yeah.
Oh, Carl. Carl.
Because
I'm like,
you know,
Lisa,
what it is?
I've been driving for 40.
He's just a really fast driver.
Almost 40 years.
Just
yeah,
drives
40 years.
Faster than
I'm 55. I started driving at 15 on my permit. I've been driving 40 years. Okay?
Yeah.
So when a car's merging, I got it.
You may be
Don't
an excellent driver. I'm worried about the other guys, too.
I'm
You're
watching.
A fast driver.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you
I'm
are.
I'm not a fast driver.
Yes,
I'm a very
are.
Careful driver.
Hey, Bickerson's.
Hey, Bickerson's.
But,
I'm going to say that
so
to
the,
you guys every time.
So the hiccups are all gone, I guess.
They are. I'm good.
You should
have
heard these hiccups, Roger.
I'm sure they were.
Whoa, man.
That's okay. I could do it for you, too, Roger.
In our next hour, Jack Benny. And you know, the interesting thing about this Jack Benny program. So on this episode, he's not feeling well. He stays home and he's in his bed and he hears burglars breaking into the house. And this script was so funny that they did it a couple of times on the radio. And then, you know, some of the best scripts they did on television and they did this episode that we're going to hear on radio. They did this on television as well. You're going to really
like this
broadcast of the Jack Benny program. That's coming your way in just a few minutes. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on WGN 7.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
How lucky are we to have Bill Curtis doing our rejoins there. Isn't that great?
I was so excited.
Makes me feel important.
When I ran into him, I don't think he knew who I was, but I gave him my name. I'm like, you did my promo, you know, Carl Amari
and
Lisa
Wolf. He was probably like,
I was so excited.
I recorded 477 promos that day.
If he didn't remember, he pretended to remember because he was very sweet.
Lisa, and he was probably like,
oh,
and then what about that hors d'oeuvre? I was saying something about an hors d'oeuvre, calamari.
Yeah, that's not what he said.
Is that what he
said?
But
I do want to mention that we have a lot of people who are texting in about the hiccup thing.
Yeah.
And everybody's giving their different methods of how to get rid of hiccups. It's very, very funny. But I will say that many, many, many people have texted in that they do the same thing that I do and drink from the opposite side of a glass. So I'm not alone in my remedy.
Do you believe this, Roger?
True.
She's making this up.
No, she's not making
She's making it.
No,
You know,
she's
you're
not.
Just making trouble over there. Yeah, he's
a
troublemaker.
Trouble. I know
he is.
He is
very good at making trouble.
What?
I have to have a talk with your mommy.
Yeah.
Never. I never started trouble. I don't start trouble.
Oh, I know.
Never.
Nope.
No.
I know.
But the best way to get rid of hiccups, I'm telling you. Somebody said you take a pencil and
so
touch your soft palate. What?
There was a speech pathologist
that texted in and said you could choke on that.
Yeah, it says you, I don't know where that text is anymore. Oh, you tap the soft palate with something soft like a pencil eraser, just gently.
And that'll cure the hiccups?
One person one person said peanut butter is helpful.
You just have some
peanut butter? Yeah.
Well, but if it doesn't cure it, at least it tastes good.
I mean, like, where are we going to get peanut butter? We were in the car driving here. I mean, you know.
Could have stopped off to the store.
Yeah, we stopped
on
at Jewel
highway.
On the way.
Yes.
I'm telling you, all you do is you take as much air into
he
your
won't
lungs
stop.
As
and
you
I did
possibly
it wrong.
Can.
Yeah, and I did it wrong.
Well, you weren't taking enough air.
How do you know that?
Here's how she did it.
He does not have any idea how much air I took.
I said, take as much air as you can. Here's your.
Okay, just for the record, I took a huge breath, but he has no idea because he made that up just so that he could say I was doing it wrong.
Oh, you know, gosh. I'm drawing up the divorce papers for you two guys. Seriously.
Oh, gosh. All right.
We're good at arguing. He just likes to argue. I think that's it. You just like to argue.
No, I don't.
You do.
Yeah, I don't. All right, in this hour, Jack Benny from 1957. What is the cat's bride? Crack the quote, Lisa.
The movie is Prisoners from 2013.
Prisoners.
Hugh Jackman?
I never saw
missed
it.
Missed that one?
Yeah, I missed it.
All right, well, we'll see if you can get
probably,
it either way.
I probably won't get it right. 312-981-7200.
You probably won't get it right
either way. 0 for 2
tonight.
That's right.
What is the prize?
2 tickets to The Madness of Edgar Allan Poe.
All right, what caller would you like?
We'll take caller 5.
5, all right. 312-981-7200. Call now, play the game. We'll be right back.
It's time now for Crack the Quote. Brought to you by Cat's Cry.
Who is that deep voice, masked man?
Cha-ching.
We're going to talk to Michelle. Help us out this morning. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hi, Michelle.
I'm good. Hi, how are you doing?
So, are you familiar with the movie Prisoners?
No.
Roger?
Me neither.
What about you?
I'm in the dark also.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. We're going to do this anyways. Maybe we'll have to go watch Prisoners. But it's from 2013. And if Hugh Jackman's in it, how bad could it be? That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Okay. Ready, guys? Number one.
I'll bet you he has his shirt off in the movie.
Well, if I looked like him, I'd take my shirt off too.
Matthew McConaughey.
What's his name, girl?
Matthew McConaughey takes his shirt off in every movie, and so does Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think, did he take it off in Greatest Showman?
I didn't see that movie.
No, I don't remember him with the shirt off there.
Maybe he missed one.
Maybe
movie.
You were just imagining him taking
Michelle,
off his shirt.
Michelle knows what I'm talking about, though, right? These guys take their shirts off in all their movies. Right, Michelle?
Maybe it's in his contract.
Yeah, it might be.
He's just following directions.
Mm-hmm.
But at least he uses deodorant. All right. Number one.
What is that supposed to mean?
That means Matthew McConaughey does it.
Oh, I thought you were like saying, I don't use deodorant, because I do use deodorant, believe
I know
me.
You do.
Maybe not enough, but I do use it.
I wasn't talking about you. Okay.
Yeah, or often enough.
Take his shirt off, doesn't matter.
That's right. Just keep your shirt on.
I will.
Okay.
Promise.
Roger, that goes for you as well.
I ain't taking nothing off.
Okay. Number one, I've never seen you before. Are you sure you have the right house? Number two, some days are just bad days. Is today one of them? Number three, do you choose to live or do you choose to die?
Hmm. Oh, I think I know what this movie is about now.
All right, you know what? Michelle, should we ask Roger for a lifeline?
No, I'm going to go for three.
Number three, do you choose to live or you choose to die? Roger, is that a good one? Or
I like number one.
Number one. I've never seen you before.
I like number two.
Number two, some days are just bad days.
Yeah.
All right, somebody's right. Let's hear it.
I've never seen you before. You sure you have the right house?
That would be Roger.
2 for 2.
Roger.
Put it on the board.
This is a big night for you, Roger. I'm thrilled for you. And Carl, I'm so sorry you've got none right tonight.
Hey,
it's just
Carl?
Not your night.
Hey, Carl.
What?
But you know what? The real winner here is Michelle, because Michelle, you've got 2 tickets to see The Madness of Edgar Allan Poe, A Love Story. It's returning to the First Folio stage, and it runs from October 6th through November 4th. And for tickets and information, you can go to firstfolio.org. I hope you really love the show.
Sure. Where is it?
It's in Oak Brook.
Oak Brook.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Good. So, yeah, look it up online, firstfolio.org.
Way to go, Michelle.
Thank you.
Take
care. Thank you,
thank
very
you for
much.
Calling in.
All right. It's time for Jack Benny, the greatest radio comedian of the golden age of radio and early television. And on this particular episode, Jack's not feeling too good, stays home, and he's sick in bed with a cold, and then he thinks he's being robbed. Let's go back to January 20th, 1957, part one now of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Benny has been confined to his bed for the past week with a severe cold. due to an unfortunate occurrence at my house last Sunday. It seems that I had invited Jack and the gang to come over without telling my wife. Then, when we all got there, I thought it might be wise to break it to her gently by having them come in one at a time. And, well, while Jack was waiting outside, it started to rain, and as he...
A whole week flat on my back in bed. And for what? I ought to have my head examined. If I told Don once, I told him 1,000 times. I said, Don, call up your wife. Call her up, I said. Let's not barge in on the little woman. But no, Lois is a peach. She won't mind. She just loves to have company. Oh, nurse. Nurse.
Yes, boss.
Take this hot water bag away. It leaks. Look at this hole.
It's okay if you keep your finger in it.
I told you to have it patched. Look at me. My nightie is so clear through. You're a fine nurse.
What's that, boss?
I said you're a fine nurse.
Well, you've only been sick a week. I haven't had time to get a diploma.
Well, then take off those white stockings. You look silly. All I'm asking for is a little help. If you'd only try it. Answer the phone, will you?
Hello? Yes, he's feeling much better, Miss Lamar.
Well.
Yes, ma'am. I'll tell him, Miss Lamar. Thanks for calling.
That was sweet. Who was that, Rochester? Hetty Lamar?
No, Dorothy.
Oh, you mean Dorothy Lamour?
No, Dorothy Lamar. She's the cook next door.
Oh, her. Well, she works for Ronald Coleman. Ronnie probably wants to know how I'm getting along.
You'll make something out of it, won't you, boy?
Well, that's undoubtedly what it was. Mary, I told you not to fuss around the kitchen.
Now, Jack, you've got to eat this omelet I made for you. It'll do you good.
I don't want an omelet.
Well, you've got to have something. Here.
Oh, all right. Can't taste anything with this darn cold.
Rochester, did Mr. Benny sleep well last night?
No, Miss Limson, he tossed and turned and kept talking in his sleep all the time.
Well, what'd he say?
Said he was going to give me a raise.
Well, I'm not.
You mumble again tonight and I'm going to stick a checkbook in your hand.
Don't try to pull any fast ones, Roger. Mary, what did you put in this omelet?
VapoRub. You've got a cold, haven't you?
VapoRub? That stuff is to rub on. It's supposed to be taken externally.
All right, put the omelet on your chest and leave me alone.
You leave me alone.
I never saw anybody so cranky. It's your own fault that you've got a cold.
My fault? I suppose it was my fault that Don Wilson invited us to his house and everybody got in but me. I suppose it was my fault it started to rain and I got soaked.
Well, for heaven's sake, you don't expect him to bring home a whole gang of people without calling up his wife first.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Mary, you were at the studio. You heard me. How many times did I say, Don, call up your wife? Call her up, I said. Let's not barge in on the little woman. But would he listen to me?
Gesundheit, boss.
Thanks. No, he had to go and...
Gesundheit, Jack.
Thanks. He had to go and bring the whole gang out to...
Gesundheit, boss.
Thanks. Out to the house without letting her know a thing about it. I wouldn't have minded that so much, but when we...
It's your turn, Miss Limston.
No, I said it already.
Yeah, but I said it after you said it.
Well, somebody say it. I'm superstitious. Gesundheit. I don't feel good. I wish the doctor would get here.
Well, go to sleep for a while. The rest will do you good.
I can't rest. I'm so uncomfortable lying here.
Why don't you take some of those silver dollars out of the mattress?
talking about? Silver dollars and nothing in the mattress but feathers.
You ought to hear them clink when I make the bed.
Now stop, both of you. I'm in no mood for nonsense.
Come in.
Oh, fine. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny. I wasn't doing anything, so I thought I'd come over and see how you're getting along.
Well, that's very nice of you. Have a seat.
Thanks. How do you feel?
Not so hot. I'm dizzy. My eyes are bleary. I'm weak, and I ache all over.
Well, you're not a kid anymore.
Now, wait a minute. There's only one thing the matter with me, Dennis. I've got a cold.
A cold, he says.
What's the matter with you? Haven't you ever had a cold?
Oh, Jack, don't be such a crab. Dennis comes over to visit you, and you jump all over him.
Yeah, if you're not nice to me, I won't give you the gift I brought for you.
A gift?
Uh-huh. Mother thought I should bring some flowers, and my father suggested candy, but I decided it might be better to give you something that you can get some use out of.
Well, I like practical gifts. What'd you get me, Dennis?
Set of false teeth.
False teeth?
Watch the way they grab your finger.
Ow! Now get those things away from me. I've never used false teeth. I don't need false teeth, and I don't want them.
Gee, then I guess I better take them back.
Certainly you'll take them back. In the first place, who brings people false teeth for a gift? In the second place, Dennis, when someone needs false teeth, they have to go to a dentist. An impression has to be made. Fittings have to be taken. And you have to wait till the gums are set so the jaw won't recede. And even then, you may have to go back 3 or 4 times if the palate is irritated or the bite overlaps.
Gee, for someone who doesn't wear them, you're sure an expert.
Look, if you just came here to aggravate me, you can go home now.
Oh, don't mind him, Dennis. Whenever he's sick, he gets touchy like this.
Oh, that's all right, Mary. Hey, what's that on your chest, Mr. Benny?
An omelet. There's vapor rub in it. That was Mary's brilliant idea. When I wouldn't eat it, she says, put it on your chest.
I only told you to put it on your chest for a gag.
Well, it feels wonderful, so the laugh's on you. As far as I'm concerned, you can all leave me alone.
Oh, Jack, why don't you take a nap and rest for a while?
I told you I can't sleep. I'm too nervous.
Well, close your eyes and relax. You'll be all right.
Okay, my eyes are closed. Am I asleep? No. I tell you, I'm too restless.
You want me to sing you to sleep?
Oh, fine. That's all I need.
You know, I'm very soothing.
All right, sing me to sleep. Hope it's Rockabye Baby in the Treetop. That always gets me. I think I was 6 months old or something.
Go ahead. Sing, Dennis.
Okay.
Darn, this mattress is so lumpy, I think I'll take it to the bank Monday.
How I'd love to hear the organ in the chapel in the moonlight while we're strolling down the aisle where roses entwine. How I'd love to hear you whisper in the chapel in the moonlight that the love light in your eyes forever will shine till the roses turn to ashes, till the organ turns to rust. If you'll never come, I'll still be there till the moonlight turns to dust. How I'd love to hear the choir in the chapel in the moonlight as they sang, oh, promise me forever be mine. Till the roses turn to ashes, till the organ turns to rust. If you'll never come, I'll still be there till the moonlight turns to dust. How I'd love to hear the choir in the chapel in the moonlight as they sang, "Oh, promise me."
That's the great Dennis Day right there on the Jack Benny program, broadcast from January 20th, 1957, defending the home. He's going to defend his home now. He thinks burglars are breaking in, Lisa. It's coming up in the next part. But first, these words.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
The overall consensus is people do want to have the music. They would like to hear a song from the year. Like, for instance, on this particular hour, we would have played a 1957 song.
And I'm going to even try to narrow that down to January of 1957 and see what
was. I don't know.
Why not?
I don't think you can
do
it.
I can do it.
I don't think so.
I can do it.
Do you,
Roger,
have that?
What do you think? Do
you
I have that power?
Ability? Do you have the powers and ability far beyond those of mortal men?
Exactly.
I think I can do that.
I know you can.
Okay, so
I
if I choose...
I have faith and confidence
I
in
know you.
You
do. It was Carl I was concerned about. So if I choose
I mean,
a song...
She is related to Nero Wolf, so...
And Dick Wolf, so
yeah.
It's all in the family.
Right.
So if I choose a song from January of 1957,
right.
A top hit...
Probably and be an Elvis Presley tune.
It could be, right. And we play that song, and it just gives us more information.
It kind of puts us
you
in the
ain't
mood.
Nothing but a hound
an,
dog.
Another layer of what was going
on. You said you weren't
going
to sing.
And it also is indicative of what's going on during that time.
Exactly.
Sure. And it gives
crying
you a little more
all
information.
The time.
There we go.
Just throw... Like
you ain't
this could be
but
a problem,
a dog.
Actually. This is the problem right here.
I know.
I'm going to
you know what?
Sing
I'll
those
make
songs.
Sure the mics are off while the music is on, and I'm doing this for the listeners.
I have control over the mics. I have the mic control.
Well, I have
There's
mine.
Someone who
she has
more
no
control over you, Carl.
Who's that?
That's right.
I ain't saying.
She's right there in the booth.
Shante.
Yeah,
but Shante won't turn my mic off.
Yes, she
I don't
would.
Think. Of course, if
for the
I'm
good
singing,
of the show.
And if
That's
I'm
right.
singing and it's irritating her, she probably would.
It's already irritating me.
Hey, you ain't a nothing but a hound dog.
I think I do a good Elvis, don't you?
Mm.
What do you think?
Las Vegas Street Elvis.
If that.
If that.
I know I'm going to Las Vegas coming up.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, like right.
Are
2 weeks.
Really? You're
I
going
really
to Las
am.
Vegas?
Yep.
Wow.
I'm not going to be missing
See
any
if you
of the
give me a
show.
Gig there.
What,
I'll
an Elvis
do a demo.
Gig?
I'll do a demo for you. Bring it out there.
Right, well, it'll cost you some bucks, but I'll see
bit.
What I can do for you.
You know what, Roger? You know what stinks? I don't have any musical abilities at all. None.
Well, at least
Zero.
You realize
come to that.
Like, yeah.
No, I really don't. I have. No, I can't sing. I can't play a musical instrument.
Well, you have yeah. other talents.
You
can dance.
That's all.
I stink
You're
at dancing.
You're dancing right now.
I stink at dancing.
You know what? You have other talents.
I have no talent when it comes
You're
to singing.
You're good at eating licorice. You're good at blowing bubbles.
I'm basically a failure when it comes to musical ability.
Are you crying?
Can't
don't,
sing.
Don't
He's
cry.
Crying.
I wish I could I sing. I want to sing. I'm a frustrated singer.
You're frustrated.
I'm frustrated. I'm just frustrated.
I know you are. What are you going to do about it?
I'm frustrated.
Wow.
I'm frustrated. Roger?
I'm at a loss
Can you
for
sing?
Words.
Can you sing, Raj? I mean, have you ever been able to sing like
my
karaoke?
My wife's... I've never sung karaoke, but my wife says that I have a nice singing voice.
Yeah.
But I bet you do.
But I don't because
Is she
I'm off-key. But no, my wife actually has an awesome singing voice.
Oh, does she?
In fact, her
wow.
sister taught music for many, many years and is an excellent singer herself.
Mm.
And,
wow.
My wife has not done it professionally, but she is an excellent singer.
Wow.
You know what?
Mm.
I just mentioned one thing quickly and then we'll move forward. I have a video of Carl and I doing a karaoke song here at the WGN party.
Right.
I could post it.
Yeah, but I stink on it.
Well, then we can all make our own decision as to whether you do or you don't.
I don't have any ability.
Should I? Is it okay if I post it?
Yeah, you can post it. Go ahead.
All right, well, you guys let us know what you think.
All right, post it. All right, let's get back to the Jack Benny program.
Gee, I put him to sleep all right.
You sure did.
Look at him lying there. Doesn't he look like a baby?
Yeah, all he needs is a rattle and a ton of makeup.
Huh? What happened?
You were asleep.
I was not. I'm too restless to sleep. Now go ahead, Dennis. Sing your song.
I already sang it. I'm not going to sing it again.
All right, don't sing. And don't try to tell me I was asleep when I wasn't. Everybody tries to make out.
Well, look who's here.
It's your piano player, Charlie Bagby.
Hello, Mary. Hiya, Jack. How's the invalid?
Not so good, Charlie. I got a cold.
Say, Charlie, how is it Frankie Ramley didn't come with you?
Well, he couldn't make it, but he wanted me to give this to Jack. It's a painting.
A painting? Ramley sent me a painting?
Well, he did this himself, and he's very proud of it.
Let me see. So Ramley painted this, huh?
Yeah, I think it's quite unusual.
But it's just a drunk lying on the curb. What's so unusual about that?
It's a self-portrait.
Oh. Well, say, that is Remley. So hard to tell with that dog licking his face. Anyway, it was nice of him to send it. Yeah, I wish the doctor would get here. I got chills again. Where's the thermometer, Rochester?
Kitty, I open your mouth.
Ah.
Say, Mary, has Don Wilson been over to see Mr. Benny?
Not yet. He's probably scared after what happened.
Well, what's he scared about? It wasn't Don's fault.
It wasn't Don's fault. If I told him once, I told him 1,000 times. I said, don't barge in on the little woman.
Hey, Rochester, what does the thermometer say?
39.
39? You made that up.
You made it up. I'm just going along with the game.
All right. I wonder what's keeping that doctor. That must be him now. Come in.
It's Don Wilson.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, hello, Don.
He's got nerve coming here.
Hello, Jack. I'm awfully sorry about what happened last week, and I came over to apologize. How do you feel?
Fine. I'm glad you barged in. How's the little woman?
Oh, Jack, it's your own fault that you've got a cold.
It's not only the cold, but when he left me standing in the rain, a stick-up man came along. I got hooked for $8.65. It was a terrible experience.
Did the guy pull a gun on you, Jack?
How else could he get $8.65?
I hope you're happy, Mr. Wilson, for everything you assume.
Gesundheit.
Keep it. Don, if you think you can come here and apologize, expect me to forgive you just like that, you're sadly mistaken.
But, Jack, I even went to the trouble of bringing the sportsman over here.
The sportsman?
Yeah. Come on in, fellas.
Don, why did you bring him here?
Well, I thought maybe they could sing for you and cheer you up. Go ahead, take it, fellas.
Powder your face with sunshine. Put on a great big smile. Fill those blue eyes with laughter. Folks will be laughing with you in a little while. Whistle a tune of gladness. Who never was in style? The future's brighter. When hearts are lighter, smile, smile, smile. Powder your face with sunshine. Put on a great big smile. Fill those blue eyes with laughter. Folks will be laughing with you in a little while. Whistle a tune of gladness. Who never was inside? The future's brighter. When hearts are lighter, smile, smile, smile.
feel better now, Jack?
Oh, sure, sure. Everybody sings to me. Nobody brings candy or
anything. Well, anyway, Jack, it sure makes me feel better to know that we're friends again.
Well, we're not friends again. You got a long way to go.
But, Jack, once in a while, even an elephant forgets.
Well, you ought to know, brother.
Oh, yeah? Well, if that's the way you feel, I take back my apology.
Take it back. Who cares?
Come on, sportsman. Let's get out of here. I've done all I can.
A big, fat hypocrite.
Jack, I still think you're being childish. You two ought to kiss and make up.
I wouldn't kiss Don Wilson if I was a French general. The way I feel now, I just about...
The doctor's here, boss.
Oh, well, it's about time.
Well, how's my little man this bright and cheery day?
As if you cared. I've been waiting for you since early this morning.
Well, don't holler at me. I was up all night with Gene Autry's horse.
Now that you're here, you can look me over.
Yes, indeed. Now, let's see what's wrong with you.
I've got a cold.
A cold, he said.
Well, that's what I've got. And another thing, I'm hungry. Is it all right if I eat something?
Oh, no, no. You should starve a cold and feed a fever.
Oh.
Or is it starve a fever and feed a cold?
You're the doctor. You tell me. Now, if you can't handle this, just say so. I'll call someone who can.
My, we're irritable today. Hey, let's see. I better test your reflexes.
My reflexes? Reflexes?
Yes, would you mind crossing your withers?
They're my legs. There's nothing wrong with my reflexes. It's just that I keep coughing and sneezing.
Well, in that case, I'd better give you a cold shot. That'll fix you up in no time.
But, Doc, I don't want a shot.
I'll just fill my hypodermic needle.
You're not going to stick that needle in me.
Oh, let him, Jack. He knows what he's doing.
But I don't need it, Mary. I've just got a little cold.
In a hold still, and I'll put this needle right in your arm.
Well, wait till I roll up my sleeve. I never saw such an impatient...
Easy now. This won't hurt a bit. Here we go.
Now, doctor. Ooh, my arm.
There. Now, that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was, too. My arm hurts like anything.
Should I kiss it for you?
Don't bother.
Now, I want you to get all the sleep you can. I'll leave a box of these pills. Take one before retiring.
Okay.
Why don't you take one now, Jack, so you can rest for a while?
Yeah, I think I will.
Well, I'll run along now, Mr. Benny. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Now, if you kids will all leave
me. Excuse me.
Now what?
I forgot to take the needle out of your arm.
What?
I lose more darn needles out there.
Well, for heaven's sake, pull it out.
You're all right, now hold still. There we are. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye, Mr. Benny.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Now, let's see who's my next patient. Oh, yes, Barbara Stanwyck's Cocker Spaniel.
Fine doctor, I think.
Well, it's your own fault. Why'd you call a veterinarian?
Because what happened to me shouldn't happen to a dog. Now, we should all go home and let me get some sleep.
Okay, Jack, I'll be seeing you.
Goodbye, Mr. Benny. I hope you feel better.
Oh, thanks. So long, Mary.
So long, Jack. See you tomorrow.
Rochester.
Rochester, I'm going to sleep. I get any calls. Don't disturb me.
Okay, boss. If that streetlight disturbs you, I can pull the shade.
No, I may wake up and feel like reading. Good night, Rochester.
Good night.
Yeah, I hope I can get a good night's rest.
This pill does make you kind of drowsy at that.
Wilson had a lot of nerve coming over here tonight. I can't get over that guy.
All this trouble I'm having for no reason at all.
I told him once. I told him 1,000 times, call up the little woman, I said.
So he won't be barging in. No, he had to be a wise guy. What's that? Who's that at the window?
All right, buddy, stick him up. What? Come on, give me your dough.
Well, you're the same guy that got me at Don Wilson's house. Remember, I was in the rose bushes.
Yeah, never mind that. Hand over your dough.
You can't do this to me. I'm a sick man. I've got a cold.
A cold, he says. Now, come on, fork over.
Yeah, I gave you all the money I had in my shoe, every cent of it, remember?
This time I want your mattress.
Yike! Oh, no, you don't. Give me that gun. I'll teach you to break into people's houses.
No, no, don't shoot. Please don't shoot. Take that.
Oh, my goodness. What have I done? I've killed him. I've killed him.
Boss, boss, what's the matter?
Call the police, Rochester. I just killed a man.
Wake up, boss, wake up.
I'm not asleep. I just killed a man, can't you see?
Boss, wake up. You didn't kill anybody. You've been dreaming.
Dreaming? Oh, thank heaven. Gee, it was so vivid. So real. You know, Rochester, gee, you'd have been proud of me if you'd seen how brave I was just now.
What are you talking about?
When that big, tough burglar came in the room, stuck that gun in my face, was I scared? I grabbed the gun out of his hand and let him have it. Bang, 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 bang. Boy, did I give it to him.
Boss, when you take the right pill, you're a tiger.
You said it. Well, I'm going back to sleep now. Rochester, if anything happens, I'll let you know. Good night.
Good night, boss. What a man.
I told him once, I told him 1,000 times, call the little woman. Well, he ought to be a wise guy. I said, Don, let's not barge in on her. Call her up, I said. I begged him. Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny Program is written by Sam Perrin, Milt Josephsberg, George Balzer, John Tackerberry, Al Gordon, Hal Goldman, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. This is Don Wilson inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for The Best of Benny. Now, here's another of CBS Radio's Sunday evening stars, the man with the beard, Mitch Miller.
Thank you. This is Mitch Miller saying you'll strike it rich in emotional values when you join Warren Howell and Strike It Rich. And say, if you like good music, good talk, and interesting people, join me any Sunday evening on The Mitch Miller Show. I'll be looking forward to having you.
That's the Jack Benny Program, January 20th, 1957. A fun, fun program, Jack Benny and all his gang.